Now we continue with our sermons on Deuteronomy, turning again this morning to chapter 33 and reading once again the portion that runs from verse 13 down to verse 25. And it's the last couple of verses, 24 and 25, that we come to this morning. But reading once again chapter 33 of Deuteronomy and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasure hid in the sun. And of God he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth God. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, he shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. This morning in our time together, we come to the last of these blessings which the Lord's servant Moses pronounced over the heads of the tribes of Israel just before they were to go forth and enter into the land of Canaan. As we've said already, of course, although it is the case that each of the tribes of Israel receive a particular blessing, an individual blessing upon their heads, at the same time, each of the blessings that is to pronounce has a bearing on all of the other tribes of the children of Israel, because they are blessings which not only the particular tribe is going to stand in need of, but indeed which each and every one of the tribes of that nation are going to stand in need of all the days of their life within the land of Canaan. In the tribe of Reuben and Judah and Gad and Dan, you remember, the Lord's servant is praying that sufficiency of the Lord to be towards them in all their ongoing warfare, the warfare that they are going to have to fight to enter into the land, and the warfare that they're going to have to continue to fight as they exist within that land in their day. And that blessing, that sufficiency, of course, which was being pronounced over the heads of those particular tribes, was a blessing, a needed blessing, that each and every one of the tribes of Israel was going to have to stand in need of. And without going into any of the details of those other words that Moses spoke over the other tribes, that same principle of application applies to each and every one of them. The blessing of God's acceptance, you remember, in their ongoing worship, that which comes out so prominently in the blessing on the tribe of Levi. The blessing of abundance and fruitfulness, which is all bound up in the blessing that is spoken about the tribe of Joseph, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons. The blessing of rejoicing in the Lord and being able to rejoice in the Lord, which comes in the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar. And then in our time together for last week, the blessing of being satisfied with the favour of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord that is pronounced over the tribe of Naphtali. In verse 23, and of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And if the tribe of Naphtali, you see, stood in need of being satisfied with the favour of God and the grace of God that had been poured out upon them, or would be poured out upon them, then all of the tribes, each and every one of the other tribes, were to be satisfied in the self-same way, because all of the tribes were to know the blessings of the Lord and the favour of the Lord towards them. So there are these individual words spoken to the individual tribes. Within the words, there are particular things to each particular tribe, but also within the words at the same time, all of those aspects of a blessing that would prove to be a needed blessing for every man, woman, young person, and child within the nation of Israel. And over and above all of that, of course, many of the blessings of God that we stand in need of all the days of our life in our spiritual calling before the Lord, our Saviour, if Christ is our Saviour indeed. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. That's how the chapter opens, and then you have all of the individual blessings that are then pronounced. And like so many other things which God spoke to Israel and did for Israel, as I say then, all of the applications for us every day that we live until we are with the Lord forevermore. Moses starts off by reminding those people of the God from whom all their blessings flowed. And then he goes on to pronounce those blessings and having those blessings in their life. Well then, as I say, for this morning we come to the last of those blessings, which is the blessing pronounced on the tribe of Asher, and that's in verse 24, verse 25 of the chapter. And the blessing has in fact three parts to it. Like some of the other tribes, the tribe of Asher was to be blessed with abundance, that it would be blessed with many children, as the Lord's servant says, and that they might dip their feet in oil. And as we'll see, those are blessings of abundance. Then there's the blessing of acceptability, as you might call it, that they might be acceptable to their brethren, it says, to the other tribes of the nation of Israel. And finally, you have those outstanding words, that they will know the blessing of the Lord's abiding strength to be with them all the days of their life in the land. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So the blessing has those three parts, the blessing of abundance, the blessing of acceptability, and the blessing of the Lord's abiding strength. So like the others, we simply move through those things that were sought for that tribe and as those things belong to us in our day. Now, the first two parts of the blessing, to begin with, the blessing of abundance and the blessing of acceptability amongst the brethren. And the first of those we only really need to mention, I'm sure, because as I've said, the blessing of abundance, fruitfulness, provision, all of that's made mention of with regards to a good many of the other tribes as the blessings are pronounced on the other tribes. That blessing that was asked on Reuben was a blessing for an abundance of men of war, whereby they would be able to fight the battles that were going to come up before them in possessing the land. The blessing that was asked on the tribe of Levi wasn't only a blessing of their being accepted by the Lord, it was also that God would bless their substance. Bless, Lord, his substance, Moses has said in that blessing, and accept the work of his hands. The blessing of Joseph, of course, was the blessing of abundance and provision and fruitfulness to be given to them. The blessing of Zebulun, you remember, was that they should suck of the abundance of the sea and the treasure hid in the sun. And when Moses now comes to pronounce a blessing on the tribe of Asher, it's a blessing such as he has asked for the other tribes. In the last few opening words of verse 24, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, with many children, with an abundance of children." Because, of course, in those days and in that nation, many children was a blessing indeed from the hand of the Lord. And then in the second part of that verse 24, it says, "Let him dip his foot in oil," that is, in olive oil, because that part of the nation that Asher was going to inherit was a place that abounded in vineyards and olive yards, and they were to dip their foot in oil, you see, in the oil of the olives. It's a prayer for abundance. That's what the Lord is being asked for on the behalf of that tribe, on the part of Moses, his servant. And as I say, it's a blessing that he's praying for that tribe, which he has prayed for the other tribes, and of course for us in our day and age. Our blessings, we've said this so often, our blessings in the spiritual fullness are not simply temporal blessings. They're eternal blessings. They're not simply physical blessings. They come to their fullness in the spiritual fullness of the blessing. That doesn't mean that we don't have many blessings. We have so many blessings, my friends, in this part of the world in which we live, that these blessings have become commonplace to each and every one of our hearts and our souls. But the fullness of the blessing, the abundance of the blessing, comes in the spiritual realms. And those lovely words, as the Apostle Paul begins the epistle to the Ephesians, you remember, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then he goes on to say, "In whom?" In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He has abounded towards us. And old John Bunyan was right when he entitled his biography, "The Abounding Grace, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners." And when Moses prays for the tribe of Asher, that indeed they will be blessed with many children, that they will dip their foot in oil, all of those things have to do with abundance. And he's praying for abundance to be with the people in the day. So the first part of the blessing, as I say, in common with many of the other tribes, is the blessing of abundance, that those people might know that thing. Now, the second part of the blessing is this, "And let him be acceptable to his brethren," he says. "Let Asher be blessed with children, and let him be acceptable to his brethren." When all said and done, that's a very practical blessing that Moses is praying for on the behalf of that tribe of Asher. And again, by way of application, for all the tribes and for us in our own day. And very simply, you see, God was going to bring those people of the nation of Israel into the land of their inheritance. And if they didn't learn to live together in the land of their inheritance, then that was going to prove to be their detriment and their downfall at the end of the day. The words are spoken over the head of Asher, but the words apply to all and each and every one of the tribes of the nation of Israel in the issue of enjoying such a blessing. It's a blessing, remember, that is being pronounced, such a blessing. And once again, as in the other businesses of the blessings that God gives to those people or will give to those people, There is that which is unconditional, of course, and there is that which is conditional. And if it would be a blessing for the tribe of Asher to be acceptable to the other tribes, and vice versa, of course, then they were going to have to make themselves acceptable to the other brethren. That's the conditional side, implied, implicit, in the blessing that is being pronounced. Let Asher be acceptable to his brethren carries with it every obligation and every ounce of effort on the part of the tribe of Asher to make itself acceptable to the brethren. It was no automatic blessing, like many of the other blessings that were being prayed for on the part of Moses. And as with Asher, as I say, so with all the tribes indeed, and with each and every one of the professing people of God, as we are called to live on the face of this earth of ours. And within the terms of our inheritance, you see, my friends, then we are under the self-same obligation. There is a blessing to be accepted, and the blessing carries with it the obligation of making ourselves accepted. And all you have to do is run through the pages of the Word of God, the chapter 12 of Romans that we come to this evening in the will of the Lord, and you get all that kind of language given to each and all of us. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. You see, they're talking about Asher and his brethren, and the blessing of Asher being accepted with his brethren. That's not automatic. Asher has a part to play. And all of those words, as I say, that come to their fullness for us. Be kindly affectioned, one to another, in brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. It's not Paul. It's the Holy Spirit of God, through Paul. And through Peter, he says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Be courteous. And John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And these words, my friends, aren't spoken into the air. They're spoken into the hearts of God's professing people. And when the Lord's apostle comes to finish that great epistle to the Romans, he speaks along this line. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And then you get a whole list of commendations of all the saints that he is commending on to the other saints as he writes that great epistle under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Word of God, you see, makes acceptability with our brethren, with all the blessings, if it makes that acceptability to be a blessing, then we're to seek out the blessing in every way that the Lord gives us to seek out the blessing. One of the classical statements with regards to all of that, I suppose, is found in the book of Proverbs, where you're given an explanation, as you might say, on the one hand, an example with regards to the whole business of being friendly, of being acceptable to one another and to others as well. You'll know the words well enough. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now you've got all of those injunctions in the Word of God not to make friendship with the world, which is enmity against God. But there's an abundance of scriptures that tell us how we are to live in this world and endeavour to be friendly, approachable, accessible, acceptable, accepted to those among whom we live. again in that chapter 12 of Romans, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And that just doesn't mean in some kind of a negative, passive sense. That means in an active, positive sense. Do you have friends? Well, my friends, be friendly towards them, because that's how you'll keep the friends that you have. Will you have friends? Then be friendly, because that's how you'll win friends that you don't yet have. And I'm sure I must have said it, I don't know, countless times in the course of the years, we're not called to go through this world like some kind of a combined harvester, chopping left, right and centre till there's nothing but stubble left. Not at all. Not at all. And without compromise, without moving one inch from the faith once delivered to the saints, we can still fulfill the injunctions which God's word sets before us. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A straightforward, simple, down-to-earth word. Bible's full of simple, straightforward, down-to-earth words to our souls. And with regards to the explanation with this whole business of friendship, acceptability, affability indeed, such as Asher was to exercise and look for as a blessing in the course of our life, then it's a straightforward explanation. It's not only an explanation, because bound up in Solomon's words, you see, there is an example as well, and an example which comes to its fullness in the gospel day. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you don't need me to tell you who that is being spoken about in a prophetic word through Solomon, the Lord's servant. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Bible tells us that Christ laid down his love for us when we were far removed from being his friends, when we were at enmity, dead in trespasses and sins, yet sinners before the God with whom we had to do. And it's that fact of what Christ did for us in order to befriend us to himself, that stands as an everlasting example to each and every one of our souls. And very simply, if Christ has befriended us to the salvation of our never-dying souls, then such a heavenly befriending is to show itself as we live in this present world of ours. Like everything else that we have in Christ, you see, he that is forgiven much, the same loveth much. Why should I forgive one? Because he has forgiven me. And as he has befriended us, my friends, this friend who sticketh closer than a brother, then that same thing must show itself in our lives, and we must show ourselves friendly. Now you see the point. Here they were going into this strange land. They never passed that way before. They didn't know what lay before them. And God is telling them, in all these ways, you're going to live in this land. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to worship me. And now comes what appears to be an offhand kind. It's not offhand at all. Because if they're going to live in that land, and if Asher is going to live with the others in that land, then says Moses, Lord, make him acceptable with his brethren. And as I say, that's not automatic, and we know it's not automatic. It lays before us the conditional side of the promise and the blessing that is pronounced. So there's the blessing of abundance and the blessing of acceptability. And then in the third place, the blessing of abiding strength all the days of their life. And so in those priceless words that we come to in verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, he says, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, in all probability, because you see mixed in, there are those portions of the land which each of the tribes is going to inherit. And in all probability, he's speaking about that rocky range, that rocky piece of territory, which the tribe of Asher was to inherit, so that their shoes would be iron and brass. They would be strong. In other words, they would keep their foot, or their foot would be kept, kept safe, kept strong. It's poetic language, but with these shoes of iron and brass. But in that sense, you see, it fits in with the whole of the blessing that is being pronounced upon those people, that as their days, so shall their strength be for as long as the Lord will be with them throughout the length of their days. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, a lot there is in that one sentence for us in our day and age, and for every day and age, for as long as the world shall last. As thy days, he says, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. And that constant reminder to our souls, my friends, that we live out our life on the face of this earth of ours on a day-by-day basis. On a daily basis. Not more. In fact, on an hour-to-hour basis. Or a minute-by-minute basis. And every second of every minute of every hour of every day. That's all we have to look to, as we look to the Lord our God. And very simply, in the light of that fact, you see, we are to make sure with regards to the days that we do have. Last week, we mentioned that great psalm of Moses, which is a prayer of Moses, which fitted in exactly with what he was saying about Naphtali being well satisfied with the favor of the Lord. And you remember how he makes his petition in that 90th psalm? And he prays indeed that they would be satisfied. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. And it's in that selfsame psalm, of course, I'm sure as you well know, that he speaks to us about the length of our days. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And when you pick up and read the Bible and a word such as this out of the Bible, immediately, you see, one of the things at least that you should be struck with is that we live day by day. And again, if you want one of the great statements with concerning that, it's one that we know well enough, as the Lord's Apostle James tells us, go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye should say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Go to now, he says. And what he's saying there, in fact, is this. Waken up. Get your head together. Waken up. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and so on. And you see, the Lord's apostle heaps up those words with regards to man's intentions that he has in his heart and his soul. A man, a woman, who lives their life quite apart from the fact that their life is in the hands of the God with whom they have to do. And you get all the links that he makes in those verses. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a place, and I'm going to do something, and not only that, we'll continue there a year, and we will buy, and we will sell, and we will get gain. See, quite sure that they're going to do a thing. Quite sure that they're going to do it, when they're going to do it, why they're going to do it, where they're going to do it, what they're going to do, what the outcome of the whole thing is going to be. Well, he says, wake it up. Wake it up. Because you know not what the morrow will bring forth. It's an alarm clock. And each and every one of us, I'm sure, as we need to do each and every morning, we need to set the alarm clock. Each and every morning, we need to set this alarm clock to our hearts and our souls. And you see, especially with regards to two very basic facts. One, we have no idea what will be on the morrow, if there will be a morrow. And then as he uses that expression about our life being as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Or as that same Solomon puts it, you know not what a day may bring forth. And that shouldn't need a lot of opening up, my friends. How differently some of the days of our life have ended with regards to their beginning. And all it needs is a phone call, a knock on the door, a letter through the box, a slip of the foot. And that day that began one way ends completely different. We know not what a day may bring forth. And if ever anything, or if there's anything we don't know, that's it. We don't know what the day may bring forth. And that other word he says anyway, what's your life? Like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. And he's telling us to look and see what happens in the morning of each day. The sun comes up and heats the earth, and the dew that was on the grass or on the flower, it vanishes away, rises up in a vapor, and you see it no more. That's the fact when the Bible points us to our days, as thy days, just days, my as thy days. And in that you see a right degree of challenge to each and every one of our hearts and minds. It's not only a challenge, it's a comfort and it's a consolation. It's a promise, you see, when it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And it's not only pointing us to the number of our days, it's pointing us to the nature of our days. As thy days, so thy strength. And you see, we know not what tomorrow may bring forth. As I say, the knock on the door, the phone call, whatever. But, says the Lord here, as thy days, so shall thy strength. Whatever the day brings forth, there is strength promised and provided for that day. That's the point that's being made. What a day that was, when dear old Job got up one morning, and he was standing in his house. Whatever he was doing in his house, we're not told. But in rushed one of his servants, and he said, "Job, the Sabaeans came, and they fell upon those that were keeping your cattle. They've stolen the cattle and killed your servants." What a day that turned out to be, so vastly different to the way it had begun. But my friends, not turned out to be, because the day wasn't over. And while that first servant was still speaking, there came in another servant and said that the fire had fallen from heaven and consumed the sheep and them that were watching them. And it still wasn't over, because as he was speaking, in came another and said, "The Chaldeans have come and taken away the camels and killed the keepers." And it still wasn't over, because another came and said, "A whirlwind struck the house where your children were staying, and they're all dead. They're all dead." Let me say this, my friends. When something comes upon us in this world, and I say this out of experience, and I don't often say this, when we have some tragedy in our life, never ever think, "That's my allocation." Job was struck with one piece of news, but it wasn't the allocation. And the day wasn't yet ended. And all that Job could do was what any of us can do. He went to the Lord. And he went for the strength for that day, such a terrible day that had come upon him. When the Holy Spirit says, "As thy days, so thy strength," he's telling us, my friends, not just to number our days, but he's saying, regardless of what the nature of any of those days will be, there is strength for that. Whatever the day brings forth, there is the strength of the Lord for that day. But again, it's conditional. Conditional. On the one hand, it's unconditional. Our life and our breath indeed are in God's hands, but again, like the other blessings, there is that conditional side to the whole thing. Let me put it to you like this. Here's the Lord saying through Moses, his servant, to the tribe of Asher, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, for the most part, it's physical strength that's being asked for Asher. But what if Asher decided to turn round and say, "Well, I've got the promise. As my days, so shall my strength be. So I'm not going to eat again. I'm going to throw myself off the side of a cliff." Would the promise hold good? No. Promise would not hold good at all. Because Asher was going to have to see to the conditional side of the promise, that he was going to have to take on the means for the strength, for the length of his days. And if he neglected the means, he made the promise to be of none effect and void. And as in the physical, my friends, don't ever get away from this, as in the physical, so in the spiritual. Here is the promise of the strength of God for the length of our days. And in that spiritual sense, we are to see to the means of strengthening ourselves in the Lord. Not Asher's strength, of course. "As thy strength" means the strength that God will give you. But he will give you that strength in accordance with the means of obtaining that strength in the natural run of things, and so in the spiritual run of things. You remember the manna that was given the children of Israel. Now, on the one hand, it was given unconditionally. I will give them manna from heaven. That's unconditional. I will give it. But they had to go out every day and gather it. And if they didn't gather it, they would have starved to death. And as I say, that's exactly how it is in the spiritual realm that the Lord has called us to. It's the Lord's strength. That's the thing. And it's the Lord's strength which he supplies through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it's a blessed thing to know that we need the Lord's strength every day that we live, so that we apply for it every day that we live. Mr. Spurgeon once preached a sermon on the issue of strength and weakness, God's strength and our weakness. And at the end of the sermon, or at least at the end of that particular point of the sermon, he envisages two types of people coming before him. I imagine there may be some of you ready to say, "Sir, I am nothing." You see, God's strength, our weakness. Some of you will come and say, "Sir, I am nothing." Then I shall reply, "Ah, you are a young Christian." Then there will be others of you who will say, "Sir, I am less than nothing." And I shall say, "Ah, you're an old Christian." For the older the Christians get, the less they become in their own esteem, and the more they feel their own weakness, and the more entirely they rely upon the strength. I wouldn't want to argue with Mr. Spurgeon or disagree. But sad to say, there are some older Christians and they don't feel their weakness at all. And blessed to say, there are some young Christians and they know their weakness and that their strength is in the Lord. But you see the general drift of the words, my friends. If we ever get beyond the point of knowing that we need God's strength all our days, all the length of our days, then that's not going to do us any good at all at the end of the day. What time my heart is overwhelmed and in perplexity, do thou me lead on to the rock that higher is than I. And we need the Lord's strengthening and the Lord's grace, not just for the physical, we're thankful for that, but you go way beyond the physical if you're a Christian. And for all the length of our days spiritually, we need the strength of the Lord spiritually to be given to us, and we need to seek the strength of the Lord spiritually to be given to us. How we'll finish our days physically, who knows, my friends? Who knows? I'm sure it would be nice for any of us to be able to think that we'll finish our physical days in physical strength. That'd be a nice thing. No guarantee for that. But regardless of whether or not we have physical strength all the length of our days, it's to have spiritual strength all the length of our days. You remember when Caleb came before Joshua and he says, "Now give me this mountain." And he says, "I am as strong this day than I was 40 years ago when I wanted this mountain." Now, he's not only physically strong as he was 40 years ago. He's as spiritually strong. Because 40 years ago, he said, "We can take the land." And 40 years following on, he's still saying, "We can take." It wasn't only spiritual strength that Caleb was blessed with, and that's a blessing, but it was spiritual strength. And to the end of his days, he abode in that faith which is well-pleasing to the Lord his God. And to know Asher's blessings, to know all the blessings of all the tribes, my friends, and to know Asher's blessing indeed, will be a blessing to our hearts and our souls. And that threefold blessing, and which absolutely surely comes to its fullness in those closing words, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And may it be for each and all of us.